Well, it is good to be at camp. You know, I never had the privilege growing up to actually be at youth camp. Where we were at, we never had a good camp that we were able to go to. So count this a privilege. Get all that you can get at camp. And not just the fun stuff, but let God speak to your heart. It is a privilege to be here. And the staff at Mount Zion Baptist Church have worked really hard on every minute detail to make sure that things are just right. And so if you see any of them around, just thank them. You know, that's one thing that you can do as a young person is just appreciate what other people do for you. And then go from there and try to be a help and a blessing to someone else. And, you know, when I think of this camp, this year's theme, that's a pretty cool theme, isn't it? Well, okay, everybody grab your head, go. All right, man, if we're going to keep like this, we got to wake up. All right, here we go. Let's try it one more time. Here we go, ready? All right, little bobbleheads. Look at these bobbleheads. Oh, man, their eyes are like bouncing in their head. Wow. All right, so you focused? Whoa, this guy's still going. Ooh, stop. Ooh, there we go. Wow. All right, we can do this. You know, camp Western style. I like that. Get your boots and guys, you get your broad shoulders out, getting ready to draw. This is great. You know, when I think of a cowboy, though, I always think of a cowboy and his... No, think about it. Cowboy and what? All right. Well, I didn't tell you to say anything yet. You got to pay attention, man. Got to get your ears on. All right. You know, when I think of a conductor, I think of the choo-choo, right? The train. When I think of an astronaut, I think of a... what do I think of? I think of the spaceship. Flames flying up. Whoa. The whole Earth shakes when it goes up, right? When we think of a farmer, we think of the... You think of his tractors. He's bouncing through the ruts of the ground trying to get his corn grown, right? So, but when we think of the cowboy... Help me out here. Together we think of the cowboy and his horse. I'm telling you what, this group is as sharp as a marble. You're like, ooh. Okay, I'll say sharp as a tack. Yeah, you didn't get it, did you? Whew, went over your head. We're going to have to work on that. Boy, we have got to wake up. You know what? There are a lot of real and fake or artificial cowboys that... when we think of them, we think of the cowboy, and immediately we think of their horse, okay? We've got Roy Rogers, and his faithful Palomino Trigger, all right? Some of you might not remember that one. Let's try another one here. We've got Gene Autry and Champion. Still not with me, are you? All right, hopefully this one will help. Here we go. The Lone Ranger. That mess, man. And Silver, there it is. Whew. Hi-ho, Silver, and away, right? And then we've got that, we'll go with the Spanish-Mexican cowboy, Zorro. You got to have that R in there, Zorro, Zorro. And he's got his, look at this. I don't have the right color, but I even have the whip. There it is. Whoopsh! He probably like whips it out and throws a little Z in there, right? And then Pastor Z. And then we've got with his faithful steed, Tornado. Okay, you got to roll that tornado. Okay, so here's some people, man, that they had them and their horse. Look at that. Well, that even looks like tornado. He's got that little fancy. Oh, we even put him right here. Okay, so we got the horse. Can you guys see the horse? I don't want you to miss out here. Here we go. All right. So we've got this horse. Okay. So the cowboy, man, the cowboy relies on his horse. He relies on him for transportation. Sometimes he rides into town and he gets a little crazy in town. So you know what? He kind of relies on him sometimes for protection. But we're going to take a look here at some things about the cowboy that he's got to be careful with. And that is relying on that horse for his safety. Say, what do you mean? I'll explain what I mean. If you have a Bible, read your Bible up nice and high. All right, it's good to have a Bible. And we should be reading it every day. You may put it down. Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. Proverbs 21, 31. First person to get it, stand up and read the first word. Oh man, sounds like a stuttering class. Excellent, right here. I heard this one first. Sorry, girls, I'm not trying to be prejudiced. I just heard the guy first. He just spoke up. All right, here it is. It says, the horse is prepared in the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You know, boys and girls, the horse is a powerful... What? Hold on, it's not quiet yet. All right, the horse... See, I got to be able to hear the horse's... I got to hear the horse's hooves, and I don't hear them yet because it's still kind of noisy in here. All right? Well, there it is. Here we go. There we go. He just went into the garden. Okay, it's quiet now. All right, so he's in the garden. The horse is a powerful animal. I mean, you can hear the horse, can't you? They're powerful. They're massive. Their chest is just full of muscles popping out of its skin. I mean, they are strong. I remember one time getting stepped by one. Boy, those things hurt. Let me tell you, you find out the power the wrong way. My son is still only two, and right now he's not really fearful of it yet, and that's not a good thing. So I had to pull him away because he didn't realize how strong the horse is. You know, the horse is very powerful. But the problem is when we rely on that for our safety, there's a problem. And we see here in this verse, it says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle. It is ready to go. It is all set. It's got its saddle on and it's ready for the battle. But the problem is, we can't rely on it for safety. That we can't rely on this horse for it, our protection. Because if we do, it will fail us. And we need to make sure that our preparation, that our safety is not found in the horse. Now the cowboy, man, he might be great in the with the guns, but if he's relying on his horse to protect him from a bullet, it's not going to be good. You know what I mean? It's not going to be good. Why? Because he's relying on a horse instead of relying on the Almighty Source. And that is God Almighty. We're going to preach here about a message on good works. And when we have, as it were, our horse, good works, we're going to name him here Good Works. All right? So we're going to look at this. So you be thinking on this horse, good works. All right? And while you do, let's have every head bowed. Every head bowed. No one looking around. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be a camp. And I pray that you put away every distraction and that you would help us today to learn some things in your word that you have for us concerning this idea of good works. And Lord, that we would not rely on, as the cowboy, for a horse for our safety. That we would rely on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a Texas cowboy, and his name was George Hoy. What's his name?
George Hoy.
There's a couple listening. This is good. This is good. George Hoy was a cowboy. He was from... Oh, I lost you. He was from Texas, and George Hoy was getting a little rowdy in town. Not good. And he was getting a little rowdy, and once you know it, there was some officers in town. And do you know who the officer was?
Yes.
Wyatt Earp. Wyatt Earp and Jim Masterson and a few other guys, another unidentified man, they heard the ruckus, said, this has got to stop. And so they walked out of their office, guns in their holster, and there's Jim, I'm sorry, George. George Hoy was on his horse, and man, he was making a scene, and he was causing problems in the town. Not a good thing. And they came out, and they tried to calm things down, but he would not calm down. Matter of fact, he started shooting crazy shots everywhere, and finally they had to take care of business. And so they all went off and they drew and they shot and they got George Hoy. And he fell off his horse. You see, I don't know. We don't know about it because it doesn't give us the details. But it makes me wonder that maybe this guy was on his horse and he just thought he was unstoppable. You know, maybe he just had a little too much confidence. Maybe he had too many Wheaties, huh? And man, he was on that horse and man, he thought he was hot stuff. But guess what? He fell off his horse. He fell off his horse. You know what, boys and girls? There's a lesson here. And that lesson is that safety is not in a... You know what? Because even horses fall down. You know what? There was horse races that those guys would come out of their... The gates, the starting gate, all these horses all at once, and they go around this racetrack, and you know what? There's times, though, that they think they're going to be the winner. They think they're going to be in that winner's circle, but guess what happens? Occasionally, a horse breaks a leg, and guess what happens to the rider? Splats all over the ground, falls off of his horse. Why? Because the horse broke a leg. And you know what? Down goes the rider. Why? Because once that horse goes down, he's gone right with it. Because he had the confidence in the horse. But when the horse goes down, he goes down with it. You know, boys and girls, there's some things, if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 that we cannot rely on. Just like here, there was a George Hoy who was trying to rely on the horse. And maybe many guys that ride on their horses and they go around that racetrack, those jockeys, they are relying on that horse to get to the winner's circle. But that confidence... it's only as good as the horses. You know what, boys and girls? The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Young people, you know what? There was a time, as was already said, I was born into a pastor's home. You know what that meant? I was born practically in the nursery. I was born in church. Oh man, let me tell you, if anybody was a good person, woo, right here, you can look at it. Man, I had the shoes, I had the slacks, man, I had the woo, look at those creases. I'm telling you what, it was there. The hair was combed, it was slicked back, man. And you know what? Girls, I didn't have no ponytails because I was a guy, man. You know what? I looked the part. I had my good old Bible and I was, whew, man, I was the preacher's son. Woo! And I had it going. You know what? I did everything right. Oh, I was in there and I knew what to say. I knew how to turn to the Bible and I knew how to listen and I knew how to go to the altar. And I did all those things just right. You know why? Because I knew how to do some good works. But those good works were not good enough. Those good works that I was relying on was like a broken ankle. Eventually, it was going to collapse. I can remember one night, I was outside. We had a special evangelist in, and I knew that God was working on my heart. And was telling me that, you know what? Dunbar, you are not saved. But you know, I was still playing the part. I was the preacher's son. You know, it was okay for a little while. For a little while, it's okay. For a little while, you can play the part. But I was not saved. I can remember being outside and this missionary was with us and it was late at night after the service. It was dark outside and I was even thinking on these things about being lost. And I can remember all of a sudden, shh, still too loud, shh, you could hear a pin drop. I was outside. For a while, I was just talking. All of a sudden, out of the darkness, a sound that took my hair and stood up right on my neck. Let me tell you, it was a machine gun. I like froze. I'm gonna die. I'm dead. I'm looking down. Oh, there's no red. Man, I was scared to death. I just froze. Run, run. Oh, yeah. Like grabbing my legs. You can do it. I go inside. Oh, man, I was breathing heavy. Oh, I was scared to death. You know why? Because I did not have assurance. Guess what I found out? Thanks to that missionary, he took away my heart and I had to pick it up from the parking lot after I got to my car. I'm like, thank you. I need that. Stick it back in my chest. You know why? Because he had a machine gun that he decided to show my dad and my brothers, and I was not there to see it. Instead, I was having the heart attack out in the parking lot. But you know what? That then right there showed me that I was nervous. That I had something that I was putting all my trust, just like cowboys put their trust in a foolish horse. You say, but a horse, it's got power. Man, you can do some good works. You can be kind to people. Hi. Yeah, we know how you girls smile. Yeah. And then you slap them with the other cheek, right? And then you guys, man, you could be real nice. Yeah, and then talk about why your parents are always telling you what to do, right? You know what? We can put on a good front. But it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of our works, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, boys and girls, if we can get to heaven by our works, then why? Why is it that Jesus Christ died on the cross? You see, it says here, our faith needs to be in Christ. It says there in Titus 3, chapter 5, not of works of righteousness which we have done. It says in Hebrews 9, 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You know what, young people? It says there, so Christ was once offered. You know the problem with our good works is occasionally we do bad works. Oh, so now we got to do another good work, make up for the bad one. Oh, and now we got to do another one just to make it look like we actually are a good person. Oh, and then we got to do 10 extra good works so we don't look like someone that's in a prison cell that killed somebody. So now we got to do 10 more good works. And man, it is just a headache. And now we got to make sure we do all these good works. And then we got to make sure we're not sinning. And eventually, we fall short, don't we? Because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what, young people? We need to realize that Christ's work was once. It was just one time. It wasn't over and over and over and over again. You know why? Because just one time was sufficient. Just one time was all that was necessary to cover your sins. The problem, though, is the foot's broken and you don't even know it. The horse is limp. And you're like, whoa, get up, get up. You think everything's just fine. But there might be someone here today that is lost and on your way to hell. You know what? It's not worth dying and going to hell. You know, I don't want anyone to question whether they're saved or not, but the fact is that Christ was once offered. Was there a time where you asked Christ to come into your life? And you just put all of your trust and all of your faith in Christ, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yours, but of Christ's grace. Did you just call upon Him and say, I need you in my life? You see, he died on the cross for you once. So all you don't have to keep praying, come into my heart. Next day, come into my heart. Next day, please come into my heart. No, it's one time. Why? Because he died on the cross once. It says there, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Just one time. And I can remember, I was getting ready to go get my birthday gift. Man, I was pumped. But it was just my dad and I. And I was 9 years old that day, May 12th, 1989. And I can remember going to Olean, and I was on my way back. And I said, Dad, I don't understand. I don't understand what it means to be saved. And right then he started taking me through and showing me how I could have eternal life. How I didn't have to doubt and wonder if I was saved. I didn't have to wonder if I was, when I heard a gunshot, I'd get scared. You know what? We don't need to be. God doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to have confidence. It says over here, let's go there real quick. 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. Paying attention real well here. Hang on there. It says 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. It says right here, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It says there that ye may know. And then I like the next verse. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. What is that? If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So that means if we call upon Him and ask Him for eternal life, will He hear us? Will He grant us that? Yes. Why? This is the confidence that we can have. You see, if you're trusting in something like a horse, man, it's going to fail you. If you're trusting in just being a good person like I did and going to church, you know, let me tell you, I was from a preacher's home. Ooh, right? But it's not good enough. You know, it was good enough for my dad only because he asked the Lord into his heart. But I did not yet. You see, and when we rely on just being a good person, when we rely on just good works, going to church, being nice to our neighbor, all those things are not good enough. Why? Because we need to trust in the work of Jesus Christ. We need to trust in the work of Jesus Christ. There was a medical report. His name was Mark Eastman. And he explains the suffering that happened with Jesus Christ. And it explains how he was in agony in the garden. And after that tormenting time, he ended up having a lack of sleep all through the night. And in between all that, he was slapped. One after the other, smacking his face and saying, "Who hit you?" Not only that, but they pulled his beard out of his face. I'm going to come over here to the girls. Let me ask you, raise your hand right now, real high, if you want the person right next to you to grab your hair as hard as they can and yank it. No way! Oh boy, we have a couple of crazy ones. You know why we don't want that? You know why we don't want that? Because it hurts! It hurts! And he had his beard just plucked out. Then they spat upon him. Gross. And you know, I don't know about you, but I don't think the technology was around like it is today. They didn't have Crest, Colgate. No, it was woo, stenchy. It was gross. All right, I remember one time a bus kid was picking on my sister. I said, "I don't think so." And Well, he got a little upset with that. And he started charging me, and I just kind of brushed him off to the ground. And he didn't like that either. And then he came back up, and he just went, and just spit in my face. That was gross. Okay, I'm going to go wash this off before I get a disease, before I get infected, right? That's nasty. I mean, I didn't want to charge at him. He might, like, bite me or something. You know, like, oh, get away from him. So I'm, like, scrubbing. Oh, it was gross. It was nasty. But remember, they spit upon his face. And he didn't do anything to deserve it. You know what, boys and girls? All of us were born with a sin nature. Everything that happened, we deserve. But not our Lord. Jesus Christ, He took all that freely for our sins. Then they whipped Him. You know what? They had what's called a cat of nine tails. And it's unlike the ones that we've been seeing out here, that's just one whip. That one whip is for direction. They're wanting to hit maybe one cow, and to try to get it in the right direction. But a little different than even this one. This one's got maybe about three strands. But this one is actually a 6-foot bullwhip, as you can see. But the cat of nine tails was probably about half that size. Not only that, but it had nine strands, and each one had a strap of leather, and there was a little hook that they had on each one of those. And the hook was on both sides, and it was so that it could grab a hold of the flesh of the back. And usually it was the sides. It would come in, and it would wrap around the side, and it would grab a hold of that side, and then it would pull that flesh and rip it. And usually a natural Roman whipping was about 39 times. Think about that. Christ did that for you. That was the greatest work. Not of works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. But young people, that's not all. They put a purple robe on Him, and they began to mock Him, and they began to put thorns into His head. We think, no, not the rose bushes. No, these were thorns that they scrunched and they put into His head until the blood began to drip from His forehead. You say, that's gross. That's what happened. He was willing to look gross for you. It was our sin that made it look gross. But He did it for you. Matter of fact, not only that, but we also see that they took then His robe and they ripped it off, and maybe the blood that was beginning to finally dry started bleeding all over again. And then they decided to put the cross upon Him. And they say, I was told, at least a beam was at least 50 pounds. And I believe it might have been much heavier than that. And because of the lack of sleep, mind you, and being whipped, and the blood, the lack of blood that He had, the energy was depleted out of Him. And now He had to walk up Mount Calvary. And now He has this cross. Remember that the cross now is rubbing up against His back, falling many times from exertion, going forward, until finally He gets up to the top, just long enough so that He could lay down His arms. Not just put little nails that you use in at home to put up a nice little picture, but it was a nail. It was a spike that they put, and it wasn't in His hand. You see, if it was in His hand, it would shred right through. But it was in the pulse, right through the, right here in the wrist. But remember, the wrist is where all the nerves are. And so there, it took away the strength in His arm to be able to pull Himself back up from the cross. And so he had to use his feet. But remember, his feet now are nailed to the cross. And so whenever he tried to push up, he would feel the pressure and he'd feel the pain in his legs. And then he would feel it as his back was being rubbed up against the cross. And there, he slumped down, not able to breathe. Say, oh, he died from all that suffering. No. He died for your sin and for mine. And you know what, boys and girls? He then did that. Offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin, unto salvation. You know what he wants to do for you? He wants you to be able to have eternal life. He did that for you. He suffered and died on the cross for your sin. But you've got to realize that it was your sin that nailed him to the cross. So what do you have to do? You just have to come to him. Freely come before the Lord and accept his free gift. The horse. The horse is prepared in the day of battle. But safety is of the Lord.